بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فيقول المصنف رحمه الله the author he mentioned في كتاب الصلاة من عمدة الأحكام باب المواقيت، ذكر الحديث رحمه الله، and he mentioned narrations, and from them عن أبي المنهال سيار ابن سلامة رحمهم الله تعالى أنه قال: دخلت أنا وأبي على أبي برزة الأسلامي فقال له أبي. It has been narrated from أبي المنهال سيار ابن سلامة that he said that me and my father, we entered upon أبي برزة الأسلامي رضي الله عنه. فقال له أبي, and my father, he said to him, كيف كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يصلي المكتوبة? How did the Prophet, or how did the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم used to pray the obligatory prayer? And the meaning here of كيف is متى, when? When did the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم pray the obligatory prayer? فقال, and he said صلى الله عليه, he said رضي الله عنه, كان يصلي الحجير, كان يصلي الحجير التي تدعونها الأولى حين تدحض الشمس. That he used to pray صلى الله عليه وسلم الحجير, and this has preceded in the narration before this one, the narration of Jabir, and these narrations are similar in their meaning and the benefits from them. That he used to pray the fajr, he used to pray the dhuhr at al-hajir, or used to pray al-hajir التي تدعونها, excuse me, كان يصلي الحجير التي تدعونها الأولى حين تدحض الشمس. كان يصلي الحجير التي تدعونها الأولى حين تدحض الشمس. That he used to pray al-hajir. Here this is in reference to the dhuhr prayer, calling it the time or the name by the time that it was prayed, al-hajir. We have seen previously the meaning of hajir or hajira or hajira, and it is that time after the zawal, right after the zawal, that he used to pray al-hajir sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that which you call it the first prayer, التي تدعونها الأولى, that which you consider to be the first prayer, حين تدحض الشمس, whenever the sun leaves the middle of the sky and comes from the zenith, and it starts from the zawal, and whenever the zawal begins. ويصلي العصر, and he used to pray the عصر. ثم يرجع أحدنا إلى رحله في أقصى المدينة والشمس حية. And one of us would return, and he would pray the عصر prayer صلى الله عليه وسلم, and then one of us would return to his house in the furthest part of Medina, and the sun would still be alive, meaning bright and full of light and heat. And then he says, Rahimahullah, Abu al-Minhal, وَنَسِيتُ مَا قَالَ فِي الْمَغْرِبِ, and I forgot what he mentioned. Abu Minhal, he says, and I forgot what he mentioned. يعني what Abu Barza mentioned, رضي الله عنه, with regards to the time of al-Maghrib. وَكَانَ يَسْتِحِبُ أَنْ يُؤَخِّرَ مِنَ الْعِشَاءِ الَّتِي تَدْعُونَهَا الْأَتَمَةِ. And then he said, رضي الله عنه, Abu Barza al-Islami, that he used to prefer to delay the Isha prayer, the one that you consider or call it al-Atamah. Al-Atamah. وَكَانَ يَكْرَهُ النَّوْمَ قَبْرَهَا, and he used to dislike sleeping before the Isha prayer. وَالْحَدِيثَ بَعْدَهَا, and he disliked talking and conversating likewise after it. After it. وَكَانَ يَنْفَتِلُ مِنْ صَلَاةِ الْغَدَاتِ حِينَ يَعْرِفُ الرَّجُلُ جَلِيسَهُ. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would be finished and end the morning prayer whenever a man, he would be able to recognize and know the individual who is next to him, who is sitting next to him. وَيَقْرَأُ بِالسِّتِينَ إِلَى الْمِيَةِ, and he used to read from 60 to 100 verses sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this narration is similar to the previous narration, the narration of Jabir radiallahu anhu, with regards to the clarification of the specific times for the obligatory for the obligatory prayer and the times that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he would pray them. So this narration is similar to that which has preceded in clarifying the rulings and that which has preceded in the classes with regards to that hadith, the hadith of Jabir, and the times that we have discussed. And there are a few extra benefits found in this narration, and this is with regards to some of the specific times and the likes. So we take the benefits from this narration along with that which has preceded. And beginning, we see the narration is from Abu al-Minhal Sayyar ibn Salama. Abu Minhal Sayyar ibn Salama al-Riyahi al-Basri rahimahullahu ta'ala. He is from the Tabi'een. He's from the Tabi'een. He died in the year 129. He's from the Sigar al-Tabi'een. Naam, and he narrated it on Abu Barza. Obviously here also al-Hasan al-Basri and other than them. And he is from the upright students of the companions. Naam, and he is narrating here along with his father. So he's saying that he is with his father. Naam, and him and his father, they both came to Abu Barza al-Aslami. Abu Barza al-Aslami, he's one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And his name is Nadhr ibn Ubaid, or ibn Abdullah. There's a difference in his father's name, al-Aslami. Rahimahullah ta'ala, and he accepted Islam in the early days, and he witnessed the conquest of Khaybar, and likewise the conquest of Mecca and Ta'if. And he was from those who fought the Khawarij in Al-Ahwaz and the likes like this, and he died in the year 65. Abu Barza al-Aslami, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu anhu. So here we have a benefit, and that is that Abu al-Minhal, he is with his father, and they're both coming to this companion to learn, and he's narrating this affair that occurred, that his father, he asked the companion. And this is a clarification of the diligence of the companions, the diligence of the Salaf. And this is specifically here with regards to the diligence of the Tabi'een to learn from the companions, and that they would come to them and they would ask them, and that they would have great concern to learn the affairs of their deen. So here this Tabi'i, student of the companion, he is with another Tabi'i who is his father. Naam, the son and the father, they both come to a companion of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to ask about the times of prayer. So this is a clarification of the diligence of the Salaf to learn, to know the rulings that are legislated. Naam, to know al-ahkam al-shar'iyya, and they would seek this knowledge, and they would go to the people of knowledge and ask them and strive to find out this knowledge in order to know it and to apply it. And this also has preceded in this work that we are studying a clarification of the same issue with regards to one of the companions. And that was in the first hadith of this chapter, the hadith of Abdullah bin Mas'ud, that he himself, radiallahu anhu, he would go to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he would ask the questions, what is the most beloved deed to Allah? What is the most beloved deed to Allah? After that, what is the most beloved deed to Allah? Like this, what is the most virtuous deed? And they would ask these questions not simply to just know them, and not just to have knowledge, but rather because they are hoping to use and utilize that knowledge to draw near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to apply that knowledge. So knowledge in itself, if it's not applied, it will be harmful for a person. And the purpose of knowledge is application. And the intent behind obtaining knowledge is to apply it and to use it and utilize it and to abide by it, and for it to be a light for a person to rectify his actions and statements. So therefore, we see that the Salaf, from their methodology and from their way and from the specific issues about them or affairs or characteristics that is a means for their success, is that they were concerned about learning their deen. They were concerned about learning the rulings and the regulations and the halal and the haram and the affairs of their religion. And this is the way of the successful. Concerned to learn that in order to apply that. Because they know that it is deeds that lead to paradise. And likewise, there are deeds that lead to the hellfire. So then it's incumbent for a believer to know the good deeds in order to apply them, and to know the wicked and evil deeds in order to stay away from them and avoid them. So this is a great benefit here.
And also in this narration, we see another benefit, and that is the fact that the Salaf also, they did not used to neglect their children. And they did not used to just leave their children unattended. But rather here we have one of the Tabi'een bringing his son along with him. And they're both going to talk to one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and ask about this affair. كَيْفَ كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wasallam يُصَلِّ الْمَكْتُوبَ. How did the Prophet, meaning here, when did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to pray the obligatory prayer? Used to pray the obligatory prayer. So they had concern for their children, and they would take their children along with them to the gatherings of the people of knowledge. And they would not be left at home to simply play, or to be neglected, or to be left unattended without any concern for their tarbiyah, or their cultivation, or their education, or their upbringing. But rather they would bring them to who? To the people of knowledge, and to the gatherings of the people of knowledge, and they would witness the statements of the ulama, and they would witness the statements of the people of virtue and nobility and honesty, and the people of knowledge and sound creed and upright conduct, and they benefit from this. And they benefit from this. So even sometimes whenever the kids, maybe they're not able to comprehend the entirety, some of the classes, but the fact that they sit in the gatherings of knowledge and they're aware of the people of knowledge and their virtue, and they're cultivated and raised upon this, loving the gatherings of knowledge and the virtue of the people of knowledge and the virtue of knowledge itself, and they become accustomed to that, this is a good way of tarbiyah. And you will find that in reality, many times they will comprehend more than one may think. And they will remember and benefits sometimes, and then carry that on to the people after them. Just as this man is doing here, he is narrating this event that occurred with him and his father, and he remembered that, and now he's narrating this event that occurred with him and his father to the ummah. To the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how did the Prophet, when did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to pray? So then the children, they should not be neglected. And this is not the way of our pious predecessors. Rather, there should be great concern for them, and there should be great care for them. And a person will begin that concern with making supplication and dua for them. May Allah guide our children and the children of the believers and rectify our affairs and the affairs of the Muslims. So he says that me and my father, we entered upon Abi Barza al-Islami, radiallahu anhu. And my father said to him, how did the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to pray the obligatory prayer? كيف كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يصلي المكتوبة؟ كيف هنا بمعنى بمعنى متى؟ استفهام عن الصفة. When you ask كيف, how, this is to ask about an attribute or characteristic. But what is intended here is متى, when. And this is understood behind the answer of the question. فأبو برزة, whenever he answered this question, رضي الله عنه, he says, فقال كان يصلي الهجير. He used to pray الهجير, صلى الله عليه وسلم, meaning the ظهر. So he's calling the ظهر prayer by the time of the day that it is prayed, Al-Hajir. And that is whenever the sun, it moves from the Zawal and begins the time of ظهر at its first time, the Hajir, whenever the sun is very high and it's very hot and the heat is very strong. And the likes like this, he used to pray this prayer, Al-Hajir, yani ظهر التي تدعونها الأولى, the one that you claim or that you call the first prayer. This is in reference to the hadith of Jibreel with regards to al-awqat, awqat al-salat, that has preceded. And whenever Jibreel alayhi salam, he came and he taught the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam the times of the prayers, yani after the night of al-Isra. Naam, and the obligatory prayer was made obligatory, yani as-salawat al-khams furidat ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam wal yawm al-tali atahu Jibreel fa'allamahu awqat al-salat. عَلَمَ النَّبِيَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ أَوْقَاتِ الصَّلَاةِ. He taught the Prophet the times of the prayer. And he prayed with him one day at the first of the time, and the next day at the second of the time. And this is how the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he learned the times of the salat. And this is another clarification of what the Salaf, they used to mention. And they would say, كَانَ جِبْرِيلُ يَنْزِلُ بِالسُّنَّةِ كَمَا يَنْزِلُ بِي القرآن كان ينزل على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بالسنة كما كان ينزل عليه بالقرآن. The Jibreel, he used to descend upon the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم with the Sunnah, just as he would descend upon him with the Quran. With the Quran, no doubt the Quran is the words of Allah Azza wa Jal. and the speech and revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and from this aspect it has the highest and lofty status with regards to the revelation. But likewise the sunnah as well is revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Jibreel used to descend upon it, and this is a clear evidence for that, that he descended. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how did he know the times of these obligatory prayers that were made upon him, and the Isra, whenever he, and the Mi'raj? Because Jibreel, he descended upon him and taught him, alayhi salam. So whenever he taught the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam these prayers and this narration, it preceded that it's in Sunan Jami' Tirmidhi, and other than that, authentic narration on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he began with Dhuhr. He prayed Dhuhr first. So some of the ulama mention like this, that they call it the first prayer, and meaning the first prayer that Jibreel prayed with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after the obligation of the prayer had been established, after Al-Isra, the night of Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. Now, so this is what he's referring to here, the one that you claim to be the first one, or you call it the first one. He said he'd pray that one, Hina tadhadu al-shams. Hina tadhadu al-shams, yani hina tamil wa tazul al-shams. Whenever the sun would go away from the middle of the sky. Yani tazul al-shams. Hina tazul الشمس حين تزول الشمس يعني حين تدحض الشمس. So this is also a clarification that he prayed sallallahu alayhi wasallam the dhuhr at its first time. حين تدحض الشمس يعني يزول أن وصلت السماء. You say in the Arabic language دحضت الشمس أي زالت. دحضت الشمس إذا زالت. نعم والزوال ميل الشمس أن وصلت السماء إلى جهة المغرب. نعم بعد توسطها. That's what the ulama they mentioned, that الزوال is whenever the sun it gets to the middle of the sky, and then after it goes to the middle and rests, and then it moves to the west. It moves to the west. This is called زوال. نعم, and this is what is being referred to here. Another clarification that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he prayed the dhuhr prayer at its earliest time. He prayed the dhuhr prayer at its earliest time, and the details with that have preceded. وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدِ. Likewise, he says, رضي الله عنه ويصلي الأصر ثم يرجع أحدنا إلى رحله في أقصى المدينة وشمس حية. And then he would pray the Asr, and one of us would go back to his rahal, إلى رحله, يعني إلى مسكنه ومنزله, to his house, to his home, to his dwelling where he lives, and the furthest part of the Al-Madinah. And so they would come and pray the Asr with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then one of them would go all the way back to his home, which is in the furthest outskirts of the Medina. And whenever he would get there, وَشَمْسُ حَيَّ. He would get there, and the sun is still alive. Hayya, meaning alive. يعني حَيَّةٌ يعني meaning في قوتها وَشِدَّةِ إِنَارَتِهَا وَحَرَارَتِهَا. While the sun is still alive, meaning in its strength and its brightness and in its heat and severity of the heat, the sun, although the Asr has begun, it's still high in the sky and the heat is still strong and severe, and likewise the color in the sun is still unchanged, indicating that this is at the first of its time. Because as the sun gets closer and closer to the horizon for the sunset, the light of the sun changes and weakens, and the heat likewise weakens. So he's saying that they would come and pray with him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then go back to their homes in the furthest part of the Medina, and when they get there, the sun is still bright, the sun is still hot, the sun is still unchanged. Again, another clarification of the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to pray the Maghrib at its earliest time, pray the Asr at its earliest time. Then he says, radiyallahu anhu, وَنَسِيتُ مَا قَالَ فِي الْمَغْرِبِ, and I forgot what he said in the Maghrib. This is the statement of Abu Minhal, نعم, of Abu al-Minhal. He's saying, and I forgot what he said, يعني أبا Barza, radiyallahu anhu. I forgot what he said. He said, I forgot what Abu Barza said. And my father asked the question and Abu Barza answered, but I forgot what he said, Abu Barza said, with regards to the prayer, the times of Maghrib. So this forgetfulness, this is coming from Abu al-Minhal. And there's a great benefit in this likewise, in that he's not shy to say that he forgot, or to say that he knows. And he's talking about the affairs and the rulings and the statements of the companions that they're ascribing to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in hadith al-marfu'ah. عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, and there's a part that he remembers, and he mentions that and narrates that precisely, and the part that he does not remember, he says, وَاللَّهِ نَسِيتُ هَذَا, I forgot that. He says, I forgot that. وَنَسِيتُ مَا قَالَ فِي الْمَغْرِبِ, and this is the way of a believer, in general, and a student of knowledge particularly, and who is going, and the one who's going to stand and speak on behalf of the legislation and speak about the rulings and the likes, if he does not know something, he says, I don't know. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ. Or if he knows something but he forgot it, he will not be shy. He said, actually, I forgot this affair. I forgot this affair. And this is something that is well known from the people of knowledge. And they would mention many times. If they don't know, they will say, وَاللَّهُ لَا أَدْرِي. وَاللَّهُ عَلَمُ. اللَّهُ عَلَمُ. إِسْأَلْ غَيْرِي. I used to hear this many times from Sheikh Abdul Muhsin. And other than him from the ulama, حَفِظَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. If they do not know, they will say, they do not know. And even sometimes the ulama, they will say, for example, come back to me in a few days and I will review that issue for you. And this has been narrated that Sheikh Zayd al-Madkhali, he used to do that, rahimahullah. And likewise, Sheikh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah, that he would be asked a question and he would tell the people, the person, the questioner, come back in a day or two. Give me some time, I'll research for you and then I'll have an answer. So it's not an obligation for a person to answer every question that is presented to him in the deen. Rather, Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, we mentioned that man ajaba an kulli ma su'ila fa huwa majnun, that whoever answered everything he's asked, then he's crazy. He's crazy. How can you answer everything you're asked? One cannot answer everything. People do not know everything. So the one who does that, he must be crazy. Or even maybe and he lost his mind that he would answer every single thing that has come to him. Yeah? So sometimes if a person forgot, he would not be shy to say that he forgot. Or if he did not know, he would not be shy to say, I do not know. And this is an example here from the pious predecessors. وَنَسِيتُ مَا قَالَ فِي الْمَغْرِبِ. Now, and then he says, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. Again, the statement is Abu Barzah. Now he says, وَكَانَ يَسْتِحِبُّ أَنْ يُؤَخِّرَ مِنَ الْعِشَاءِ أَلَّتِي تَدْعُونَهَا الْأَتَمَ. And he used to prefer to delay the Isha, the one that you consider to be al-atama. And this is the issue here that is not found in the narration of Jabir. And this is an issue that we must discuss. The issue, and it has been mentioned, but the rulings with regards to the delaying the Isha prayer. And also he used to dislike, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sleeping before the Isha prayer. وَكَانَ يَكْرَهُ النَّوْمَ قَبْرَهَا وَالْحَدِيثَ بَعْدَهَا. And he used to dislike likewise talking and conversating after the prayer until the end of the hadith. There's not enough time to discuss these issues, and these are the issues that are the most important issues from this narration that we will discuss inshallah. And the other issues in this hadith are similar to that which has preceded, but this hadith has some extra benefits from the one that has preceded, and it's with regards to these issues here. And we begin with them in our next class inshallah ta'ala. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.